Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. AJ's away at comedy camp, and he's been giving us little audio letters from camp.
Hey, how you doing? Today's day one. I want to say day two because I got here yesterday, but today was day one of
I love him.
Captain's log. I don't know what day it is.
Oh, how long does this go on?
It's amazing to lose your place in the first 5 seconds. It's amazing.
Just him in a hotel is classic.
Day one doesn't count because, you know, that's the day I got here. But this is day one.
I want to say day two because I got here yesterday, but today was day one of Comedy Fantasy Camp. And started off kind of like this. First, you heard me talking on the show yesterday morning about, you know, how things went with the flight and all that. So today was the first day of Comedy Camp.
20 seconds in, we've established it's the first day.
Took a little while. He got there.
And yeah, Pat's right. Every single one of these videos, not one is he like on a sidewalk somewhere or like in front of a landmark. He's always just
hotel room.
Comedy Fantasy Camp. Now, didn't meet Adam Carolla yet today or Jay Leno, but they had a couple different people. I'll get to that in a second. Right after I got off the
show. That's a nice tease. Yeah. I like that. That keeps me listening.
Okay.
Right after I got off the show this morning, talking with you. I'm like, I'm really tired, but I really want some breakfast and I want some coffee. So instead of taking a nap like I should have, no, what do? I'm half asleep. I throw on a pair of pants. I throw on a shirt and I go to walk out the door. I got a pair of flops on and I learned a very valuable lesson. I learned that when you're opening a heavy wooden door, you should probably not have your foot in the way because all of a sudden I pull the door.
Just learning that now.
Just learned a very valuable lesson.
Move out of the way of doors. That's the lesson he learned.
75% of the year, he's in flip-flops just learning this lesson.
Just learning it now.
80% he's opening doors. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot going on. His math is there.
Because all of a sudden, I pulled a door, and there was a thud, and all I saw was stars, and it broke my big toe. So I broke my big toe. So Comedy Fantasy Camp, I'm walking around like that guy, hey, Sheriff, 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 and you see Clint Westwood.
In his mind, we all know that reference.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, isn't that from Blazing Saddles? I think he's referencing someone from Blazing Saddles who limps.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I busted my toe. So that's what's going on over here. The cool thing, though, Fantasy Camp, we had Caroline Ray, who's hilarious, you know, from like Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I think she was in a couple of things.
You know, a couple things. A
couple things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great list of credits.
Lifer, who was an amazing female comic from like the early 1970s. Fantastic. They were going to do like a seminar on all kinds of things, like how to write and how to do this and how to do that. And she gave us a 10 points, things you should learn and yada, yada.
Is anyone following this?
Yeah.
Not really.
It's like word scrabble.
The seminar on how to do this, how to do that is an amazing seminar.
Like, yeah. How to do this, how to do that.
Nothing specific.
I want to see his notes.
I would love to know if he even took notes. I would love to know.
Oh, yeah. He probably made like little cartoons.
Yeah. Read them to us, please. I would love to hear what they are.
It was awesome. And then we had dinner at the Hard Rock Cafe.
This will have details on it.
Of course.
Dinner. Yes.
Which was funny because they gave us this menu, which was about this big, and it had like five choices. So I went with a burger. Everybody went with a burger, which made the waiter's life a whole lot easier. He goes, who had the burger? We all raised our hands. So, duh. what else happened today? Oh, cool.
Well, he had lunch down.
He had breakfast and burger. Yeah.
Yep.
Big burger bit going on.
Oh.
Yeah. What else?
Oh, we got these cool badges. these cool badges right here. These right here are basically our lifeline. We have to have these badges because they have a thing on the back and legitimizes us to actually, you know, be in the place we're going. So, so after the Hard Rock Cafe, went to a place and we saw Jay Moore performed fresh out of rehab. Guy's freaking awesome. That was amazing. And Caroline Ray and a whole bunch of other different people. And then some of the us got to do the open mic. My name was not called. Maybe tomorrow. I have no idea. But in any event, it was really cool. And tomorrow, Adam Carolla. We're talking to Adam Carolla. We'll actually see him. And supposedly a whole bunch of media
is
coming.
You know
down,
what so. Is great about him is if you sped his voice up and made him sound like he's five, you have a kid at summer camp.
I was thinking with the badge and everything, he really looks like a kid at camp. He really does.
And every single word you would say, oh, that's a five-year-old describing his day at camp. Is it day one, day two? Kind of day two, but it's day one, actually.
This is a phone call. And then I met my friend, and then we went and we got burgers.
And there was my toe.
There was a canoe, and we got in the canoe, and then we were in the water on the canoe.
It's perfectly AJ. All right, your chance to maybe win $1,000 right now. Fill in the blank and win a tank of gas and get in the running to win $1,000, all courtesy of Chevrolet of Milford. In studio, comedian Pat Oates. Good morning.
Good morning.
He's at Comics at Mohegan Sun tonight through Saturday, opening for Hans Kim and comedian Ben Kirsch over here to my right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tomorrow he's at the Fairfield Comedy Circle. We're linked up.
That's kind of like opening for Hans Kim.
Nicholas in Stratford.
Hey, how you doing, Chaz and AJ?
Hey, good morning. Got to turn your radio down.
Gotcha.
Thank you. All right, here you go. Fill in this blank. A man with no arms blanks a tourist in Florida.
Rob? That's the greatest thing ever.
Rob is not the answer. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for trying. Tim in Plymouth.
Kicks.
You know, I see how you got
know,
there.
That's a very good answer. Very good answer.
That's a logical conclusion.
It's all he's got.
Not the answer we're looking for.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
He made himself laugh. Oh, yeah.
Steve in Milford.
Good morning, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Can you read it one more time, Chaz? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. A man with no arms blanked a tourist in Florida.
Tricked?
No. Sorry. Thank you. Sean in Milford.
I'm going to say headbutt.
Another logical conclusion.
Oh, awesome, but not the answer. Leslie in Milford. Leslie?
Good morning. How about slapped? Yes?
That would be a good trick.
Me?
Yes, I heard you. That's not the answer. Sorry.
How?
Craig in Hamden.
I like headbutt, but I'm going to go with tackle.
No. This might be one we don't have an answer for. I'm going to have to switch headlines here. Austin in Prospect.
He stabs him.
Correct.
Whoa.
You must have Googled that.
No, I promise I didn't.
Really? All right.
God.
Well, congratulations. You want to tank a gas? You're in the who's that?
Awesome.
What's that
Thank
in the background?
You.
Was that a cat?
No, it's my two children in the background.
Oh. What are their names?
Griffin and Caleb.
Griffin and Caleb, thank you for joining us. And congratulations to you. Good luck on $1,000, courtesy of Chevrolet of Milford.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right. A homeless man with no arms has been charged with stabbing a tourist in Florida. Miami Beach say, police say, 46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw held a pair of scissors with his feet and stabbed 22-year-old Cesar Coronado just after midnight. This happened back in 2018.
What?
What?
How do you not get out of the way? He's got scissors in his feet or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like he can run.
Yeah. Was Caesar sleeping?
But he still had to crawl on his cheeks or whatever to get over there and stab him. There's a lot of noise going on.
Have you ever seen some of the programs they've done on people with no arms? They could do everything.
They write out a check. Extremely talented. Yeah.
I got yelled at by my parents probably 15 times in a row when I was 9 years old. I was watching this guy eat spaghetti with no arms. He was drinking a glass of beer. I swear to you, I was fascinated. I was like, I have to. They're like, stop staring. Leave this man alone. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
This is why they invented staring.
I watched him. Pat, I watched him twirl a fork of spaghetti with his feet. I was like, this is amazing.
Dude, I need That's you, how I you need get to your get toes to send that. Me that video. Now. Yeah.
I saw this feature of a woman. She was pushing a shopping cart, no arms, with her foot. She was grabbing things off of the shelf with her toes and putting them in her shopping cart.
Amazing.
She pushed herself up to the checkout. She put everything from the cart onto the belt. Then, out of her purse, with her toes, her foot reaches in the purse, pulls out a check.
It's free.
She writes the most beautiful check. It signs her name. Like, wow.
You know what? It's free. I don't want your foot money. It's free.
You can't put anything back if you shop like that. You have to know what you want and take it.
That's true. You can't be searching around in the shelves, like moving boxes around.
Yeah, and you can't be like testing tomatoes and squeezing them and then putting them back.
Not this cantaloupe, no.
Look who is back on the show.
Well, 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 well.
Where have you been?
I've been in Gay Petty.
Uh-huh.
And it was much gayer when I was there. Mm-hmm.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. AJ's in California. Pat Oates.
What's he doing there?
He's at a comedy camp.
What are they, like, it's like clown school?
Basically, yes.
They teach you how to be funny?
Yes.
Because God knows he should have taken those classes years ago.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah, so Adam Carolla, Jay Leno, Caroline Ray, a bunch of other television writers, and it's, you know, workshops on stand-up and comedy writing.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's neat. I don't think you're ever at a point where you can't learn anything.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. I'm learning every day. I'm learning how to retire.
Oh, are you having a bad day?
No. Actually, okay. My bank account got hacked, and it has been a nightmare. I told you this, right?
No.
Yeah. By the way,
Ben is also here. Ben Kirsch, comedian. So if you hear
Ben,
another voice.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, what a sexy voice. What do you look like, Ben?
12 years old.
No pants.
Yeah, my bank account got hacked. It was terrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy because you got to change everything.
How does it get hacked?
A person opened up a joint savings account in my name and they transferred money out of my checking account, put it in the savings account, and then withdrew the money.
They had to have your social security number.
Yeah, they had to. That's what the bank said. They've had to have had your social security number and your date of birth. And I was like, oh, that's just terrific.
It seems easy enough to get that stuff. Like, they got to make it harder.
So easy. Yeah, they got to make it harder. I got an email that said, congratulations on your new savings account. I've been with this bank for 29 years.
So red
I've
flag?
Never opened a, right. So I call the number that says, if you do not do this, call this number. So I call the number. While I'm on the phone calling them, they're calling me saying, hey, we think we've detected fraud in your account. And I'm like, yeah. And then before you know it, the money was gone.
How much? Do you mind telling me?
$4,000.
Okay. That is horrible.
It was a substantial amount because I needed that money to go on vacation. And I didn't have it. And it was like 10 business days. And you got to get a new debit card. I didn't have that.
This happened right before vacation?
Right before vacation.
Jeez, you can't make up that timing.
Oh. It was like a week before. So most of it had been handled, but still I didn't have a debit card. I didn't have any checks. I didn't have, so a local bank that I also have an account with stepped in. So thank you to Nutmeg Federal Credit Union, because if I didn't have them, I would be lost.
Those local banks are the best, you know?
Yeah, a little local bank coming to the rescue. Yeah. So I really appreciate them. So it was pretty awesome.
Nutmeg.
Like I'm
such
just
a
going
cute
to my
name for credit union. Nutmeg. Doesn't sound
I'm going
like
to my
big.
Venmo account.
Badass.
Nothing works on anything. Everything you do, you got to reset everything.
Oh, God.
You're like, oh, my God.
It's all
what
checks
is happening?
For an old lady. Nutmeg Bank.
Nutmeg.
That's crazy. So anyway, how are you? How was your time away from me?
Well, I'm still fascinated with this. So did you get your money back or no? Did they catch these
people?
I did.
I got my money back within 5 days. The money was back in my account. And, you know, they send you a bunch of forms you got to fill out. And
massive drag.
You know,
but did they catch the person?
I don't know. You know that.
So you
that
were insured or something?
Know.
That's how you got your money back?
Well, they go through an investigation, and they have to determine that it wasn't you who did it, and their investigation determined that I was not the person who did this. So, you know, I was like, when am I getting my money back? And they're like, well, we first have to determine that it wasn't you. And I'm like, wasn't me. I said, I've been here for 29 years. I said, what do you think, I'm going to start stealing now? No.
When you walk into any kind of an office and you're at the desk and they're asking you these personal questions and there's a waiting room full of people behind you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
everybody's
kidding
like,
kidding me?
Yeah. You know? It was horrible. Like, direct deposits that go into the account had to be replaced. Mortgage statements, mortgage money coming out of the account had to be replaced. Like, I had a list of, like, 10 to 11 things that the credit card needed to be changed over to, like, and things you never even think about, like your supplemental health insurance comes out every 3 months.
Oh, trust me, you're going to be like turning on Netflix, like, oh, God damn it. All of that's coming. You're going to go to the gym. It's like, nope, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So it's totally the truth. It's like, it is a nightmare. So, you know,
right before vacation. And, like, this is the time you want to be here, buttoning things up, getting things fixed.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's like,
yes,
oh, I'm on a plane, and now I'm going to go, and I'm going to use this card overseas. Yes. Awesome.
And don't watch sad movies on the plane. I'm such a dope. I watched Titanic on the plane.
Okay, not great. Okay.
Not a great choice.
Disaster movie. People going
3 hours of a disaster where thousands of people are dying, and I'm like, I'm in a plane over the Atlantic going, not a good choice.
You know what I watched on an airplane and it wasn't a good choice? Sully.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not a good
there
choice
There are
either.
Scenes, people like, I just, you know, I'm like, wow, this plane is coming apart right now. And I look around and I see people looking at the screen and their eyes look like half dollars. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Don't look at my screen.
I watched.
Why?
I watched 5 movies, 3 going and 2 coming. I watched Grease because I was like, oh, that's a happy movie. That'll put me in a good mood. Then I watched Mean Girls, which I've never seen before.
Never really? Seen it.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's
you know,
fun
like
movie.
We don't do. We wear pink on Wednesdays, and you can't sit with us if you're not wearing pink on Wednesdays. It was a funny click movie, you know. Anyway, and then I watched Ordinary People, which, as you know, is my favorite all-time movie ever. Very sad. Shouldn't have watched that one because it affected me for like the first 2 days I was on vacation.
Has everyone seen this movie?
I've seen this one. Another one with a horrible boat accident. What's going on?
Another horrible boat accident.
Ben, have you seen Ordinary People?
I have seen Ordinary People. This is a very interesting lineup of movies.
Ruth?
Being on a flight.
I've not seen Ordinary People.
Me neither. I've never seen it.
No, you got to see it. It's one of the best movies I think ever made.
It's a great movie.
You have to see it.
Ordinary People?
I will sit and watch it with you.
Ooh.
See, like, all right. Well, it sounds like some nutmeg and some hot cocoa. On a cold winter's night in Connecticut.
And then I'm coming home and I watched Call Me By Your Name. Did you ever see that?
No.
I know what it is. I haven't seen it, though. Yeah.
What is it? It's a gay
love story between a much older guy and a much younger guy. Go figure. There are sex scenes on the screen.
And you're on the plane.
And I'm like, looking at the guy next to me, and I'm like, thank God he had his eye things on. And I'm like, okay, I can continue to watch it. I was just so uncomfortable watching this movie.
The five-year-old behind you really loved it.
Yeah, he's like, put Titanic back on.
Exactly.
Gary in Torrington, what do you got?
So, I had some hernia surgery last year. So, shortly after my hernia surgery, everything went fine. I get some bruises in my groin. So I go back to the doctor and I'm freaking out. So doctor inspects everything, whatever. He says everything's fine. He turns and walks away from me and he goes, that's funny. He goes, first time I heard somebody complain about having a black one.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
About two seconds later, I said, it doesn't match my skin complexion.
Well, you killed the joke.
Yeah, you had it.
It was funny. No, that was good. Gary, very good.
I mean, I don't believe you, but that was awesome.
No, very good. Good job. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. You too, man. We're doing the weirdest thing a doctor has ever said to you, putting everybody on in the running for Foo Fighters tickets. Pat Oates in studio, comedian Ben Kirsch in studio. We're linked up to their stuff on the radio station website. We'll be checking in with AJ around 9:30, live from L.A. Sam and Shelton.
Hey, so good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
So a few years ago, I went to the dentist. It was a new dentist, and doing my, the inspection of my teeth and stuff. And he told me I had 13 cavities. So I thought that was a little bit weird. And needless to say, I got a second opinion, and they weren't able to find any, so...
13. This guy's building a deck in a built-in pool.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
13. Good for you for getting a second opinion. Jesus. That's a lot of drilling.
Yeah. Where were you behind a gas station?
Really
I went to the dentist like 2 weeks ago for a cleaning, and I go every 6 months, and I sit in the chair, and you know, you're already getting in to the worst thing, because you know it's like minutes and minutes and minutes of just...
I prefer that to the hook scrape. I hate that feeling.
I hate mouth vacuum. That's the worst thing.
Mouth vacuum, cold water, just your like the fluids of the tartar and the water's going down your. It's all spraying on your face, and they're talking to you, and you can't talk.
The
whole thing. And I get in the chair. She goes, "Whoa, you got some staining." I'm like, Jesus Christ. Thanks for making this worse.
Yeah. You could have kept that to yourself.
I'm like, I have coffee and blueberries for breakfast. Of course I have staining. So, all right, Sam. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Tara in Prospect.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sitting in the dental parking lot right now listening to you guys talk about the mouth vacuum and the scraping.
Are you going in?
10 minutes to my appointment.
I'm sorry.
Good times.
Yes, good times. So I'm going to preface this by telling you that I'm a nurse.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. One of the funniest things that has ever happened was I was assisting a physician with this poor patient for a gynecological exam where she was sitting on the GYN table. Her legs are bent. They're in the stirrups. And this physician who I adore sits down on the stool in front of her, and he has to be able to see, obviously, her groin area. As he's lifting back the sheet and she's scooching to the edge of the bed and getting into position for this examination, which all women love to have. You know, it's one of those things you have to have, but you hate it.
It has to be the worst position in life to be in.
It is the most vulnerable position that a woman, I think, is ever in her life, trusting someone. And as he's about to start the exam, he's trying to tell her, he's like, you know, please relax. And all of a sudden, his stomach growls very, very loudly. And he looks up to me, and he could see me. The patient, cannot see him. And he looks up to me, and he knew that I heard his stomach growl. And he goes, oh, looks like it's time to eat. And the woman says, No, I thought you heard my stomach growl, and he was beet red,
oh.
And I was holding back laughing. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
You just have to walk out the door at that point. There's no way. You can't recover.
Probably one of the funniest things ever happened in my 23-year career, and oh, my God.
You just walk out the front door directly into traffic from there. No recovery.
Or if there's a can of gas, you pour it on you, and you let yourself on fire.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
It was perfect timing. But, I mean, obviously inappropriate. And this physician is just—he's excellent, and he was so embarrassed.
Oh, and he didn't mean it, but that's so amazing.
But it was probably one of the funniest times in my whole career, and I will never forget it.
Oof! Neither will she.
Neither will she.
Or I think everybody in the room is like, "Well, we're bonded by this moment now forever."
So we're going to do this or what?
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is great.
All right, Sarah. I'm going to go see the mouth vacuum now.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm hungry now.
I'm not taking another call.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
This that is was insane. A champion.
That's it, Tara.
She's perfect. A legend, not yeah. Bob. That was an amazing story.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so good.
Is there a worse position to be in?
You like, mean the doctor?
No, I thought when I was getting neutered, that was pretty bad. Like, you're just laying there. Nothing looks cool. You know, you're usually in the dark when this thing is out. It's like as light as it could be in the office.
Right.
It's just there. There's nothing impressive about it. It's all really bad.
Nothing looks
and,
cool.
You know, you're the guy he listens to on the radio. It's like, yep, this is it. Number one. And I thought that was the worst. But then thinking, yeah. No, a woman in that position... Everything's lit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
legs
crazy.
Are up.
Akimbo. They're just open.
Akimbo.
Oh.
The only other one I could think is on your knees with the back out.
Well, that's how I got this gig.
I'm going to need to pause on the phone now. Hey, good morning. Now, you do training for the feds? You train them like self-defense stuff, or you train them like how to enter a building and get bad guys?
We do all of the above. I mean, I was a huge proponent of training when I ran the largest fugitive task force of its kind in the world in New York and New Jersey. Trained all the time. Had a great facility in South Jersey where, you know, it's important, obviously, when you're knocking doors down at 4 o'clock in the morning, not knowing what's on the other side, that everybody's on the same sheet of music. So you got to be tactically sound and you know, rolling up to a gas station, seeing something like that, that would have been all over quickly on our end.
No kidding. Oh, I want to send you the video and just have you like, yeah, right here.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But, yeah, I feel like we have to start doing this training because I have a feeling that we're just going to be on our own soon. Do you get that feeling?
Well, I mean, it's a 360 world out there anymore. No more tunnel vision. A lot going on, unfortunately. And to be, you know, have some training under your belt wouldn't hurt. You know, not necessarily having a weapon or whatnot, but just know what to look for. I mean, you can't really you can avoid a lot of problems if you're not on your cell phone with your head down walking down Main Street.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean it's insane what I see sometimes. I was in Manhattan the other day, and you know people are oblivious. It's like you know,
yeah.
And it's hindsight, right? Oh God, geez, if I'd have known that, what I know now, yeah. Well, there you go. So,
well,
plan ahead.
If you're at a gas pump and you're pumping gas, and a car pulls up, three guys, and they get out and start walking towards you, yeah. Hand over your stuff. Let them take the car. Would that be the strategy? Not for you, but I think for most of us, we right.
Resist, especially this woman you were talking about and what happened, unfortunately, to her. You know, it's difficult. I mean, first of all, it's shock and awe, right? You're pumping gas, and all of a sudden you get jumped. I mean, you know, how do you react? Yeah, I'm a little different story. We're kind of trained to react the way we should. But I remember I was down on the D.C. sniper case for three weeks, and I pulled into town. They pulled a bunch of us from New York to go down and assist on that thing. And,
Does anybody remember this case that Lenny's talking about, D.C. sniper case?
Definitely.
John Muhammad and Lee Melvo. Yeah, a bunch of. Well, anyways, so I'm down there for 3 weeks, and that's a great story. But we'll get.
But this had America, like,
in grips.
We were
21 days of horror.
21 days. People were just murdered, just randomly killed by a sniper.
Right, right. And it was all about John Muhammad wanting to kill his wife, and he thought he would randomly just kill 13 others. But anyways, crazy story. So I pull in into Maryland. I'm running out of gas. I pulled into a gas station, and, you know, we're not, you know, what we do for a living 24-7, it's not, you know, nothing crazy. Of course, we heard the stories and what was going on, and we deploy for a lot of this stuff. So as I pull into a gas station, and this woman is on her knees hiding behind her car, pumping her gas. And I said to my partner, I go, look at this, man. They're taking this thing pretty serious down here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, I'm from New York. I mean,
you're a trained military secret service fugitive task force professional trainer person. It's like, yeah, look at this lady, man, hiding her head from being shot.
I felt horrible. Yeah, exactly. We're getting out laughing, grabbing a Coke, and we're on our merry way. But I guess my point is the gas day, you know, it's crazy how people react. But, you know, you just got to be prepared. As George Orwell once said, people sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. Well, these are the men and women that are downrange doing God's work every day trying to keep this craziness, you know, at bay.
There's a lot of Orwellian stuff circling us now.
There you go.
Lenny DePaul, former U.S. Marshal Commander. We're linked up to all his stuff. American Badass. That's my title for you, by the way. So you were in the United States Navy. That's where this all started for you, right?
It did, correct. Yeah, 17. I was couldn't afford to pay attention, let alone go to college, so I joined the Navy. And I was told when I joined, they told me Navy stood for Never Again Volunteer Yourself. I didn't pay attention because 35 years later, the government owned me for a long time, 6 years with the Secret Service and 25 chasing violent felony fugitives across the globe, being terrorists and murderers and rapists and gun runners, drug runners, the worst of the worst. So
I'm thinking you didn't have a typical Navy career if you go on to the Secret Service, Fugitive Task Force, and things of that nature. It wasn't a normal Navy career for you.
I mean, I was in the Gator Navy, worked in an amphibious assault group. I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you weren't, you know, you weren't peeling potatoes somewhere. No disrespect to anyone who peeled potatoes in the Navy. But
hey, those were the best. Are you kidding me? The mess halls, those guys, the cooks, and the guys that paid me,
right.
Became good friends with all those guys.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So, again, the government owned me for a long time, and, you know, I have no regrets. It's really, I retired a few years back, and I was supposed to be on a golf course in South Florida somewhere, but my wife, who's in the fashion business, decided to stand up a tactical clothing line, so that's where.
Zero Dark 30 clothing line, by the way. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Appreciate
really
that,
unbelievable. Like, this is cool stuff. Like, it makes people like me who have no military background, no formal training, look like I know what I'm doing.
Nice.
It's cool. It's cool. You put these boots on, you're like, I'm Chuck
I'm
Norris.
Sure you look sharp.
Yeah.
You'd be on my team any day. But, yeah, in fact, I'm heading today out to California to the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference for 3 days, and we actually have a booth out there that we're going to bring our stuff out there and show the boys and girls what we got.
Perfect, perfect crowd for you.
Thanks. Yeah.
All right, so U.S. Navy to Secret Service. Like, what did you do in the Secret Service? Who was the president then?
President Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
I was an uneducated military guy, no degree, so I was able to get in. I was in between jobs. I was doing roofing and siding in the state of Maryland. I didn't even go back to New York. I ran into a guy. His name was Danny Cecere. He's responsible for all this. He was an instructor at the Secret Service Academy, and I was putting windows in his house, and we were talking, and we hit it off. He was from Brooklyn, New York. And he says, hey, I'll apply for a job with the Secret Service. I said, what's that? And he said, well, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's what I do. I said, well, I don't have a degree. And he said, you don't need one with the uniform division. You can come in. They'll pay for your school, and you climb the corporate ladder and do your thing. So that's what I did. I applied. About a year later, I got a call on a Thursday. I'll never forget it. They said, we got good news and bad news. I said, okay, go ahead. She said, well, good news is you got the job. The bad news is you start Monday. What do you think? So I put the phone down, and I said, well, I'm good. Where do I go? So there I was, and went to the academy, went down to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia, back to Beltsville, Maryland, Secret Service Academy, and found myself at the White House with President Reagan for about 2.5, almost 3 years.
Damn! All right, hold on. There's a lot here. So Ronald Reagan gets elected, and shortly after, into his first term, he gets shot. So you became Secret Service after he was shot?
Correct. Yeah, I didn't come on until late.
So there had to be a whole nother level of training now. It's like, oh, God damn it.
You have no idea.
Okay. It's like getting on a plane after 9/11. Okay, whole different experience now. So your training must have been like top level stuff. And then if you're at the White House, you must be like that training camp must be like you're training with the car and there's bombs going off near the car and all that stuff, right?
Well, we had a saying: we don't get paid for what we do; we get paid for what could happen. So it's training was intense. I saw the John Hinckley incident in my head for years. Much as we went through that in training and what went wrong and the chaotic, radio calls and who wasn't prepared, who was prepared, Well, it's not that they weren't prepared. If you remember the scene that when he came out of the hotel and the D.C. police officer, the first one that was shot, the rule number one, cardinal rule with the Secret Service, when your principal, the guy you're protecting, when he's in public, and you never turn around and look at him. You look into the crowd, right. And the first thing and you'll see it, as soon as President Reagan comes out, the crowd erupts. And the D.C. Police officer, sadly, was killed. But he turns and looks at the president and takes the first round from John Hinckley in the back of the head. 22 caliber, mercury-loaded tips exploding on impact. When you freeze frame that shot, everybody's, here's the president of the United States. You're clapping, you're laughing, you're smiling. Hinckley, no expression. He's just standing there.
So right there, dead giveaway.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you're trained to. That's what you're looking for.
Identify inconsistencies.
It's the way the whole thing went down. I mean, he got, all these rounds off in a matter of a second, I think. And Timmy McCarthy took a round in the stomach. So that whole scene, as far as, what we should have did and what we could have done. I mean, the president takes off. Jack Parr threw him in the car. He didn't even know he was hit. They radio that they're heading back, and then he sits up. He goes, "I think you broke my ribs, Jack," and he started coughing up blood. So they zigged when they should have zagged, went to GW, the hospital, called ahead. But they didn't know where the president was for like 7 minutes, which is unheard of. I mean, the radio traffic was insane. So, the story of Reagan when he pulls in and does his thing and looks at the surgeons and says, "I hope you guys are all Republicans."
He almost died. That was like just a fraction
just
away
missed
from
his heart.
Just missed it.
Yeah. Lodged that. The round, thank God, when it hit him, it hit the car first. It ricocheted off the door and lodged under his armpit. So it exploded on impact. But it did. It was lodged. It was right near his heart. So he was very lucky.
Wow.
So Jim Brady, I mean.
Yeah. Jim Brady, never the same after that. That was a tough thing to see.
Terrible. But anyhow, that was quite an error. And I mean, President Reagan, he forget about his politics. The guy, he glowed. I mean, he walked into a room. I don't care if it was Gandhi, Gorbachev, Margaret Thatcher back then. He just had this aura about him. And you talk about a funny guy. He was just spontaneous, not scripted. He would come off the cuff with things where you would just sit there and just laugh at him. Quick story, there was a head of state in town. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I'm working in the back. I was working the function because I always loved to do that. Guy being from Hollywood, the state arrival would come in the morning. He'd take care of business, and at night they'd have the big state dinner. He would invite who's who from Hollywood. So I used to put in for overtime just to see who would show up at the party. So one night he comes down. I get a call. His code name was Rawhide. So I get, Rawhide's coming down.
What a great code name.
Yeah, he was great. So he comes down the back elevator, and I'm standing there, and Ray Shattuck was the SAC special agent in charge. He was always with him. You've probably seen photos of him every time you see Reagan. But anyhow, they get off the elevator, and the elevator opens up. I get it in my ear. He's coming down. And there he is, Ray, and the President of the United States. And I said, "Good evening, sir. Enjoy your night," or something like that. And he nods and smiles, and he turns to Ray Shattuck. Now, the president wore two hearing aids. He takes both of his hearing aids out. He hands them to Ray. He winks at me and walks into the party. he was like, whoever, I know who he's with, but he didn't want to hear anything. I mean, he could have gave away the candy store. He was laughing, yes, and this guy to hated that sitting next to him at dinner. And he couldn't hear a word he was saying. But just a comic. I mean, he was a classic. Like I said, he was a great guy to be with.
So you leave the Secret Service, and then you go into Fugitive Task Force?
Had a few guys, a few colleagues that went over to the Marshal Service, and I was had a conversation with them. I says, "Hey, you got to come over to the U.S. Marshals." And again, I said, "Well, what the hell do they do?" You know, so he's, "Well, wow. I'm getting into the fugitive business. We're chasing human beings. We're not spending 3 months in court on trial with cases. And you know, we grab a case, you know, arrest somebody, move on to the next 20 cases." And I said, "Well, that sounds great." It got me back to New York, and I went to Brooklyn, New York. Eastern District is where I started, and within a year, because you got to do a variety of things when you're a rookie, with the witness protection program, asset seizure program, judicial protection. You got to protect judges. They're protecting the Supreme Court justices now, and rightfully so. But so you do all that stuff. But I landed in, I was one of the lucky ones. I was in the fugitive squad within a year once I moved over, and I never left, which is unheard of. So, and they use this for a variety of different things in the Marshal Service. It's such a storied agency. Plane crash, or the shuttle crash, we were down in Texas picking up debris. I was deployed for Hurricane Katrina for 3 weeks. George Floyd, guy in California, Rodney King. I was out there for 2 weeks during those riots. So they use this, you know, for a variety of different things, but I stayed in the fugitive squad, and post 9/11, with the FBI focusing on domestic terrorism, Congress said we need to look in our own backyard, so they mandated us to stand up permanent fugitive task forces throughout the country, and the New York, New Jersey Regional Fugitive Task Force, where I was the commander there, we were the flagship, or the model, if you will. So 350 investigators, 90 different agencies, 13 offices, I was, and doing a TV show on top of it, I was pulling my hair. I don't think I slept for 12 years. In the specific language, too, guys, it was Congress was like, okay, let's target terrorists, murderers, like I was telling you, gun runners, drug runners, sex offenders. The Adam Walsh Act was just in, you know, John Walsh's son was just, they made that a federal thing. So, you know, these sex offenders are getting really nailed on the federal level and serving some pretty good time. So we were targeting, we were averaging about 100 to 110 arrests a week just in my region alone of violent felony fugitives, all of them averaging 6 to 8 prior arrests. These are bad people. The numbers are staggering. And the public, you know, I would, if they knew these numbers, it's crazy. The Marshal Service is averaging about anywhere from 70 to 90,000 arrests a year in this country. Think about that. And these are bad people. I mean, these aren't turnstile jumpers or deadbeat dads. These are, right. You know, these are violent predators. So anyhow, so I knocked doors down for a living. That's what I did for decades.
You're a movie.
Yeah.
We're not.
I got to tell you something.
I can't sing or dance, but, you know.
That would be funny if you were singing and dancing while beating people up and arresting them.
We had fun. We did laugh. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, the next time you're on, we're going to go through some of these other specific incidences in your career. But we need more people like you.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Well, we do. We've got a lot of them out there. The Marshal Services, like I said, they're such an a storied agency and the premier agency in this country in finding human beings for a living. So, but you get good at it when you do it 7 days a week, holidays, weekends.
They're just not on TikTok, so we're not seeing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, well, again, we're the redheaded stepchild in the Department of Justice. There's another three-letter agency that likes to run to the microphone to announce the arrest of.
Gotcha. So, you guys are the ones who do the work. Yes, you're in the movie. You're over on the side doing the work. Yeah. Manny DePaul, former U.S. Marshal Commander and just American badass. His clothing line, Zero Dark 30, amazing. Jennifer actually picked up a boot that I bought from your site, and she walked it over to me, and she goes, "Where did you get this?"
let me correct you real quick. It's the letter O dark 30.
Oh, dark.
They did. Okay. I couldn't trademark Zero Dark 30 because of the obvious movie and everything else was there.
Okay.
So yeah, letter O dark 30 DARK30.com. So I appreciate that. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the boots.
Thank you, Lenny. AJ's at Comedy Camp. Thanks to Arts Television and Appliance and you, the tribe, for donating. How's your experience going so far?
So far, so good, except for the whole toe thing. It's been fantastic. Yesterday was actually the first day of comedy camp, and it was great.
That you figured that out, because we listened to the video this morning. It took you about 20 seconds to figure out, was it day one or was it day two?
Yeah. Well, you know, I still have that jet lag. So I'm gonna go jet lag on this one. Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. I've been blaming my cold all week, so you're going with jet lag?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Pat picked something for you, and we're all good, yes.
Dumb.
So I'm going with jet lag on this one. Yeah. So, but we had Carol Leifer. I don't know if you remember her from, like, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. She was, like, the female comic out there, kind of blazed the trail for a lot of female comics. Fantastic. Always a fan of hers. She talked with us. We had, like, a little seminar with her. And she gave us her top 10 rules of, for doing comedy, which was fantastic.
Do you remember any of the rules?
I wrote them down.
Oh, good.
Let me get my bag over here.
Don't open a door with your bare foot in the way?
Yeah,
on the list?
Do you want to go with that first? Or
No. I was just wondering. All right. So.
Yeah, no. That was just how to get through life without being a complete klutz.
Oh.
That was pretty cool. They gave us these the swag bag. It's almost like a mini, like regular, like, you know, work bag, like the kind that, you know, the canvas kind that you carry. They gave us a T-shirt also, and everything pretty cool. But they had us writing notes. Let me see my glasses over here.
All right, so it was like a class.
What's that?
Yeah, it was like a class. They're talking. Basically, you're taking notes.
Yep. Her first rule was, find what you love, then you'll never have to work again, obviously.
You didn't have to go to comedy camp for that, by the way.
Right. Take that risk at number two. Be someone people like to work with, because she talked about some of the things like some of the famous comics that, like, we love, but really, personally, they're complete, you-know-whats.
Did she go through a list?
Yeah, she went through the whole complete list. So,
like these guys would have been more famous had they not been dicks?
Exactly. Like, you know, she didn't name any names, but, that's not her style. But you know, I mean, basically, we all know who those people are, Chevy Chase. And,
But, like, Tom Hanks is someone who's got to get along with everybody because he's had multiple decades of great success. So everybody must like being around him.
Yeah, you talk to anybody who's either met him or worked with him. Everybody loves Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is great. He's fantastic. So we had her on there, and then afterwards they had Caroline Ray come in. I remember her from Sabrina Teenage Witch.
Yeah,
I didn't realize she was such a funny stand-up comic, and she's quick, you know. And so she basically had, you know, a bunch of us go up there and, like, you know, do like a quick, like, 3 minutes, and she would critique. I didn't get called up. She called mostly people in the front row, but she analyzed them. And then the weird thing was, when I was standing there online waiting to get my T-shirt, my swag bag, and my notebook and everything, I saw this little person walk by, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. A little person can do comedy, right? And I go, that person looks familiar. And it turns out it was the guy from The Little Couple. I don't know if you've ever watched that on TLC. It was the guy and the woman who got married. They're both little people. She's a doctor, and they're actually from Long Island originally, and they adopt some kids and everything. But it's a great show, and I'm like, oh my god, he decided to go for comedy camp, and his wife was with him.
Oh, so he wasn't a speaker; he was an attendee.
Yeah, he's taking a course.
Oh, cool.
I'll see him again today.
I didn't realize taking the. I thought that was your, like, Hollywood celebrity sighting.
Wow, it's just like him in the class.
Yeah.
And then attorney Norm Pattis is there as well.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. No, Norm and I are comedy buddies, and so neither one of us has been called up on stage yet. Last night after they had all the seminars, they had us all go down to the Hard Rock Cafe in L.A. and have dinner, which is, like, directly across the street from the Roosevelt. Roosevelt, by the way, is an amazing hotel. A lot of history. Marilyn Monroe used to stay there, and they say it's actually haunted by Marilyn Monroe's ghost. Mm. But we were at the Roosevelt Hotel and with the Hard Rock Cafe, had dinner, and then afterwards we all had to go back to the Roosevelt, to the Terry Room, and Caroline Ray was doing a comedy set. But I didn't know that we were also going to have Jay Moore showed up. And Jay Moore just totally killed. I had no idea that Jay Moore went through a whole big rehab thing, and that's basically his main focus, was talking about his rehab, and he just made it so friggin' hilarious. It wrapped up with some guy who...
That sounds like a special in the works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff that he had was golden. It was awesome. And
I've never seen him and thought I didn't like what he just did. I like him acting. I like him on the radio, in a podcast, in stand-up, like everything. Anytime I see him, I'm like, he's great.
The new stuff he just did at Mohegan a couple weeks ago, and it's the best he's ever done. I'm telling you. He's so sharp now. It's crazy.
That's the other thing I was going to say is I feel like he's only gotten better. Right? Yeah. Like some guys like find a thing, and they just kind of lean on that thing for a while. It. He's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing with him is that he talked about how, you know, he walked into an intervention and how messed up he was. He thought Wu-Tang Clan was coming to his house to do a podcast. and he walked in and there's his mother and there's his girlfriend and there's his all of his friends and coworkers and stuff. And they're all, he's like, you can't be here. Wu-Tang Clan is coming. So he talked about that. He goes, you can tell my career. He goes, I went from, you know, working with Tom Cruise and this person, that person. Then there was a gap. Then all of a sudden, I was a talking animated dog. He goes, and I wasn't even the lead dog. It was awesome. He was great. He was great. It wrapped up with some guy who looked like Mr. T's brother. I mean, he did okay. He didn't do great, but still a lot of fun. So
when you get called up, what are you? Are you going to do stuff you've already done, or have you worked out some new stuff?
I thought about some observations I had at the airport. I got to leave because they're only going to give us 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lead with that and then go into some newer stuff that I have, and that's probably all I'm going to be able to do.
You did about 8 or 9 right here, and all good. You know, you edit that down. Yeah,
That's true. That's true. Thank you. So I'm gonna start with fresh stuff, and if they let me go any longer, I'll break in some of the other newer stuff that I have. So I don't know if I'm getting called up today, or if I'm gonna end up getting called up tomorrow, or even possibly. I know I'm definitely Sunday. They're all of us.
Is that worse, like not knowing? Like, would it be better knowing? Like, all right, I'm going up on this day at this time.
I wouldn't mind having a heads up that I'm going today, as opposed to they just pulling names out of a hat.
Right.
So they have a gestureous hat they were pulling out last night. So, I mean, it could be up today. It could be up tomorrow. I have no idea. You know,
how were the people that got called up? Did they seem like they had some experience?
No, total. Matter of fact, some folks never did comedy before.
Oh, wow.
People. Yeah. I mean,
how intimidating would that be? The first time?
One or two people. They had the guts to go up there and everything, but like a couple of people didn't really tell. They just kind of told the story about how they got there and why they were there. And I'm like, okay, but you're supposed to be, making us laugh.
I got
to
tell you something. If you watch some specials now, that's what it is.
Yeah.
There aren't jokes. It's just taught people talking.
Funny stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but there's no judgment. That's the main thing, is no judgment. There's no groaning, by the way.
Right.
One guy said something, and it was just like, oh, my God. And the audience groaned, and Caroline Ray was like, she goes, that's not groaning. You also can't tell her sure, or call her ma'am, or you also can't film her. You can't take a picture of her from like looking up, because her chin apparently gets in the way. So she has more than one chin, apparently.
Funny. All right. Well, it sounds like you have another full day today. And then where are you going to end up tonight? At a famous comedy club. Which one?
Today we're going to the comedy store.
Ooh,
so today is Adam Carolla's podcast day. So we're going to have to meet at 10 o'clock in the morning over there. He's going to talk about podcasts and everything. I got to try and fit a shoe back on my foot because my toe, it looks like Barney and Friends. I swear to God, my big toe is absolutely purple, and like the rest of my toe is like all the kids. So I got Barney and Friends on my left foot.
Well, this is AJ. If you were ever going to post a picture of your foot, this is when you actually have an excuse. Putting it up on the counter in the studio, saying I'm back, like nah. But now you have an injury. Now you have an
something
excuse.
Interesting.
Yes.
Right. Well, maybe I'll post it later, but. Yeah, I learned when you're half asleep and you want coffee and you just throw on pants and a shirt and flops to go get some coffee, make sure your foot is out of the way of a heavy wooden door.
Did you have to live 60 years and go to L.A. to learn this lesson?
No, actually that could have happened anywhere. It was I had the epiphany at that moment.
Gotcha. It occurred to you.
When that heavy wooden door that swung out hard –
decided to just completely stop abruptly. There was a bang, and I saw nothing but stars in the hallway.
Oh, I'm cringing for you right now.
I can feel it.
Phil wants to know if you're going to make any videos not in your hotel room.
If I can. I mean, we're not allowed really to videotape in any of the seminars.
There's the cab ride over. There's sidewalks. You're at restaurants.
I didn't outside.
I didn't cab ride. I walked.
Exactly. Yeah, there's sidewalks.
Yeah, but maybe me and Norm will make one today.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, as we're walking. But Norm, by the way, walks freakishly fast.
He's wearing real shoes.
Just picture. He doesn't have a broken toe. Picture.
I'm wearing actual sneakers, Phil. So,
picture that walk from Orange Street to the New Haven Courthouse.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh my God! I was hopping like Gabby Hayes, I'm like sheriff, sheriff, sheriff. I'm like slow down.
All right, good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're having a good trip.
So far, so good, man. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you. I'll talk to you over the weekend, but we'll hear you again on Monday.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut, on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.